Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, we journey to Berlin, Germany, with our guest, Greg Casella. Greg grew up in Chicago and moved to San Jose, California in the Silicon Valley when he was 25 years old. Working in the tech industry for a few years, his dream was always to open up a restaurant, having worked in restaurants growing up from the age of 13. In 1992, he started an off-premise catering business in Silicon Valley, the next best thing to having a restaurant. He was actually on unemployment when he started the business with no capital and built it into one of the largest LGBTQ businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area by the time he sold it in 2019. Wow, that's quite an accomplishment, Greg. His business catered about 80% corporate events and the rest weddings and social events. By the time he left the business, he had 70 full-time staff, 3 cafes, and a regular client that he catered for 20,000 guests at one time, multiple years in a row. Holy crap. That's huge.
A lot of work.
Yes. In 2016, he had a therapist, doctor, and mentor all say to him, "It sounds like you need a vacation." Having been intrigued by the city of Berlin for many years, he first visited the city in 2007 and kept visiting every couple of years, running the Berlin Marathon 3 times. So he decided that vacation would be a 3-month sabbatical from work, and he would go to Berlin to experience more of the city and culture and travel around Europe. Once in Berlin, he connected with a community there and fell more in love with the city and the people. After the sabbatical, for the next couple of years, he started stepping back from his business a bit and would work to Berlin for a month at a time and work remotely, letting some of his managers handle the day-to-day operations. At the same time, in 2016, he celebrated being with his husband for 30 years, but at the same time, the relationship was changing. He was actively looking for an apartment in Silicon Valley to be on his own and soon realized that he could rent an apartment in Berlin and fly back and forth every couple of months for less than renting an apartment in the Valley. So that is how he ended up in Berlin. In 2018, on one trip back to California and work, his general manager said, "When you are ready to sell the business, I'm ready to buy it." His immediate answer was yes. Although he loved working and building the business, mentoring staff, and thought he would be working until he was 100, it seemed like the right thing to do at the time. So at the end of 2018, he sold the business, bought an apartment in Berlin, and now resides there about 80% of the year. Wow, that's some story, Greg. That's a great bio, a great history. That's an incredible business that you had there, and just said one day that's it. And tell us a little bit about your background and, you know, how you decided on Berlin. Was it just that visit that did it, or tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I got a little tired listening to that bio, thinking about how busy I used to be and how I'm not so much anymore. And I have to say, none of what I've done has been ever planned out very well. Like, I did think I was going to work till I was dead. But I just came to the city. I thought I always wanted to live in a city again, because San Jose is a big city. It's actually bigger than San Francisco population wise, but it's sprawling, spread out. There's not really good public transportation. And having grown up in Chicago with that lifestyle, I thought as I get older and age, I'd rather live in a city where I can take the subway or L train, or here I can bike everywhere around the city. It was actually faster and quicker than taking the subways, although it's very extensive. So coming here, I just fell in love with it and like the city. I like city living. And it's very, Berlin's got like wide sidewalks. And it's very quiet. You get off a busy street and all of a sudden it's like peaceful in a neighborhood. It's really kind of odd the way you change a block and it's just you don't feel like you're in a city. You're in just a quiet neighborhood. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And like when you first got there, what year was that when you first arrived?
2016, when I took the sabbatical and stayed here a few months. And,
okay.
And I had an apartment, but I traveled. I went to Istanbul and Hungary. Like I went to a lot of different places for weekends and took the train to Warsaw.
Wow. That's great. And did you find it hard, like when you got there with the language?
No, Berlin is actually pretty easy because everybody speaks English here. There's a lot of expats here. The city is not, it's not typically German. So I guess if you went to Munich or Frankfurt, it's going to be a little bit different experience. Berlin is so international, a lot of refugees and free spirit type people. And the
excellent.
It kind of has a history of that from when it was divided, when it was surrounded by East Germany and like the West. Nobody wanted to live here in the West, although there was, you know, free society in the West. They used to actually pay artists to come and live here because nobody really wanted to live here, you know, surrounded by East Germany.
Got it. So explain to us where Berlin is geographically within Germany. Where is it located?
On the eastern side of Germany, about an hour and a half, 2 hours from the Baltic Sea. You can take a train to Poland, the border of Poland, about an hour and 10 minutes, or drive there an hour. So it's pretty close to Poland, 4 hours from Warsaw by train.
Okay. Yeah, you're right there. And that's the beauty of living in Europe. Anywhere in Europe, you can pretty much be anywhere. Like if you wanted to go to Paris, I mean, you can hop a quick flight, right?
Yeah, the flights are really cheap. EasyJet is great and cheap. Like Prague is 4 hours by train too. And it's fun to take trains, I think, places. I've taken the train to Paris, which is a long ride, but it's fun because you get to see the countryside and see the rest of Germany.
Yeah, yeah. The infrastructure in Europe is so different than the United States.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and they have high-speed rail, and you can get to places relatively very quickly and see the countryside and the beauty of all of Europe that way.
Yeah. And generally trains here are always on time. Like Germans are, it's precise.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like that. Tell us about the climate. I know Germany gets cold in the winter, and does it get warm, very warm in the summer?
No, and it's actually not too cold in the winter either. I always thought it was going to be as cold as Chicago growing up, but it's really, it hovers in the 30s to 40s in the winter. And the only bad thing about winter, like I've been here a few winters and 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there was snow. We got about 4 inches of snow and that was on the ground for a couple weeks and it was beautiful. But that was like the most snow I've seen in 4 years. It gets a little depressing sometimes, especially this time of year. Like January, February, I can handle, and it's gray and just wet. It never really rains, but the pavement's always wet, and the pavement's gray, and the sky is gray, and it's kind of interesting. But I kind of enjoy it, the darkness in the winter. I mean, it'll get dark in December at 3:30 in the afternoon, and the sun won't come up till 8:30 in the morning. But there's something about that I really like. It's very relaxing and forces you to kind of slow down, I think. But the worst time is this time of year because it's like, it feels like winter the last few days and it should be, you know, it's April and it should be like spring. Although you hear birds singing and you see spring, but it doesn't feel like it all the time.
So typically when do you go back to California? Like what part of the year? Is there a specific time?
No, I've gone back and forth for work. Although I sold the business, I'm still involved a little bit consulting and had some properties that I just sold. So a lot of the responsibility I had has gone away. So I won't go back as often anymore. It depends.
You know,
I
would go whenever
back
you
in
want.
Summer, a couple of weeks. Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. That's great.
And then the summers here, you asked about the weather. The summers hover between 70 to 80, 85. There'll be a heat wave maybe for a week or two. And there's no air conditioning. It's not unbearable. It's not awfully humid, you know, but for a couple of weeks it can be. Sometimes one summer we all asked where was summer because it didn't feel like summer. So it could be cool and a little rainy at times, cloudy.
So let's back up a little. You said no air conditioning?
No air conditioning.
No air conditioning.
Oh, you Americans. You need
what's up with that?
You don't really need the air conditioning. It's
you know
it's
how spoiled
amazing.
We are. Well,
yeah,
actually,
no, exactly.
There are places such as Phoenix, Arizona, where I live,
where you
would not survive without air conditioning in the summer. It's 120 degrees here.
Right, right.
But I guess Berlin doesn't get that hot, or is it humid at all?
Not very humid, no. I mean, those couple weeks where you might have a heat wave, it would be humid, but not that much.
So
it's pretty nice.
There are other parts of Europe, I've been told, that don't have air conditioning either. Yeah,
yeah, I think most of Northern Europe doesn't.
Even Portugal.
Oh, really?
A lot of people in Lisbon or, you know, up north or towards Porto. They may have it, but it's sometimes used very, very infrequently.
Yeah.
But interesting.
Even if you have it like in a commercial building, it can only go to a certain level. Like it's not heavy duty air conditioning like you find in Texas or Arizona. It's very, you're always asking, is the air conditioning on? Because it's hot still.
So do you have a rainy season?
I mean, this time of year is kind of the rainy season. But it's not awful. You'll get some thunderstorms that come through, but then an hour later, it's nice and sunny, it's dry. It's kind of amazing how the weather changes daily.
Do you think climate change has affected Berlin or Germany in any way?
Yeah, that's what all the locals say. That, I mean, it used to snow a lot here and be colder in the winter. And, you know, in 4 years, I've seen not like all this winter, I think there was a dusting of snow in February, but that was it.
Got it. Okay. So is living in a LGBTQ plus community important to you? And if so, does one exist in Berlin? Berlin's pretty gay. It's a pretty gay city.
It's pretty gay.
Yeah.
It's like the new Amsterdam.
Do they have like a gayborhood, so to speak?
Yeah. Actually, I live in Schöneberg, which is the older established gay area. Where in the 20s, there were a ton of gay bars, and some of them still exist, actually. But the whole city is pretty much gay and LGBTQ friendly.
Yeah.
It's very fun. It was important to me because San Jose, although it was very accepting, part of the Bay Area, and the neighborhood I lived in there was, you know, there were a lot of gay couples, but it didn't feel like a gayborhood. You know, I go to my favorite coffee shop every day, Romeo and Romeo, and, you know.
Oh, I like that.
It's
Romeo
really,
and Romeo.
It's cool. And I've met a lot of people that way. I've learned how to sip a cappuccino take an hour sipping a cappuccino.
There you go. So, okay. So they have gay bars, I would assume.
Yeah, a ton of them.
And many of them, right?
Every flavor. Leather is a big thing here, although I'm not into leather, but there's a lot of big events. One going on right now, Easter weekend, a lot of leather bars and normal bars. There's one bar I go to that does a happy hour late Wednesday night, and it's the most American bar that I know of here. It's really a fun mix of people. And what I love about here and Germany, I think all of Europe, is like my age doesn't make a difference. Like in the US, once I turn 50, I'm invisible at a bar. And here, I'm 64, there's people who are 30, you know, all mixing and talking and, you know, flirting, and it's fun. I feel more alive here.
So you can go into a gay bar or a bar, any kind of bar, and people speak English, so you'll be able to carry on, in most cases, a conversation with someone?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, cool.
I mean, it's rare we find somebody who doesn't speak English. Germans, they have to take 8 years of English in school, so they almost all know English, especially younger ones. If they grew up in East Germany, they might not know English very well.
Okay. So Berlin has a gayborhood. They have gay bars. It's gay friendly. Sounds good so far. So I wouldn't feel uncomfortable myself being welcomed in Berlin if I went to visit.
Oh yeah, you'd be totally welcomed. I think Germans are they're really friendly, but they're not outwardly friendly. So you have to get to know them. Once you get to know them, they're really loyal friends and nice people, but they're not going to be, you know, they're not welcoming at first. It takes a while to break.
Right.
So as a tourist, you might not get that, but if you're here for a while, you get to know people.
So what's your secret? Like how did you meet other people? I mean, did you go to like social groups?
Hanging out at Romeo
and Romeo is having coffee and like, okay.
Yeah. Actually I did, like before COVID, I met this guy, Ralph, there, who we kind of flirted but he had a partner and we became friends. And like during COVID, I would go to his apartment twice a week and we'd all speak German. So he was trying to teach me Deutsch. I can't say he was very successful, but that's how the people are. Like he's just a German guy, like we liked each other, we became friends, and we hang out every so often now, and you know, but it takes a while to get to that point.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. I could definitely see, you know, you're kind of an outsider. Do you feel like an outsider though?
No, at times. I also have a lot of expat friends, so
okay.
I speak English a lot with people. That's good and bad. And
have you learned German?
Ways. A little bit. Yeah, I'm working out, but I can't have a conversation. I can order. I can get through life, daily life, you know, speaking German.
Right.
I'm always proud of myself when I go to like a department store, I ask for something and they know what I asked for. Then they start responding, blah, 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 and I'm like, I don't understand.
That's how I would be. Yeah. And I'm exactly. Visiting Spain and yeah, I'm trying to learn some Spanish, but when they start talking conversationally, I'm like, I have a problem.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, and you would say you have made a group of friends through.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Tell us what the local economy is like. How much, you said you purchased your place.
Right. Right.
That you live in. Did you purchase it right away or
well, I was
did you rent
still
it first?
Working. I rented another apartment first. And then a friend of mine lived across the street from my current apartment and it was a brand new building going up. So it was easier to purchase, but more expensive to purchase. Mm-hmm. It's harder to purchase here, like an older building because they have rent control. Like somebody can be in an apartment for 20, 30 years and you can't really kick them out. So you could buy an apartment that's occupied, but you're never going to get in there until they die, maybe.
Right.
So a new apartment was not occupied, just my own.
Got it. So give us an idea. What does it cost an apartment, like one or two bedroom apartment condo, if you were going to purchase one versus like a rental one to two bedroom apartment?
Yeah. My apartment is two bedroom, two bath, 1,200 square feet
meters
about that, right? And mine was 824,000, which was kind of expensive at the time. The price has gone up since then. There's a big housing shortage here, so there's an apartment for rent. You hear stories about, you know, 800 people on the list to get an apartment.
Really?
So it's really kind of word of mouth to be able to get something, although apartments are fairly inexpensive. Like an older one, you can probably get a one-bedroom apartment for 600, 750 euro, you know, depending on the neighborhood. A nicer place, you know, mine's a brand new building. It's going to be more at a place like this. But an older apartment, it's pretty reasonable. And as far as Berlin standards, it's really high now. But, you know, 10 years ago, it was like you could get an apartment for 300 euro a month. Really cheap.
Not anymore. Those days are over.
No, it's over.
So, okay. That's so it's pretty pricey depending upon your perspective on things.
Yeah, I guess coming from Silicon Valley, to me, it's all cheap.
It's cheap, yeah. Anybody yeah. from California, it's cheap.
Exactly.
So how about, what do you think a month rent would be for a one or two bedroom? You have any idea?
About like $750 to $1,200 maybe. You know,
that's not bad.
Yeah, I don't think that's that bad.
That's
and
not bad.
Expenses are not that much money. Like, groceries are really cheap here. I don't know how they do it. Every time I get a bag of groceries, I think it's going to be 30 euros and it's like 12. I'm not sure if it's subsidized or what, but it's pretty reasonable. And going out to dinner, you know, at neighborhood places, you can spend 10 to 20 euro for a dinner versus, you
That's
know.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. I mean, nicer places are going to be more, but these are, you know, and there's a wide variety. There's a lot of Asian, Indian, pretty much everything. A lot of vegetarian, vegan stuff here.
International. Yeah.
It's harder to find German food, actually.
Is it really?
Than anything else. Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Okay. How about like utility bills and internet? What does that look like?
Like my cable, which includes internet, is 65 euro a month. And my cell phone is 35 euro a month, which is unlimited data.
Wow.
So it's really not much.
Yeah, that's pretty inexpensive.
I think water, I have like a house, the condo fee, which is 375 HOA. Euro, but that includes some water. I think it includes a couple things because I don't pay much else.
Okay. HOA is even reasonable.
Yeah.
Do you have a gym in your building?
Or anything. No, no, there's no amenities really.
Is your place walkable to other places? Like places?
Oh, a block away is a strip of food. I mean,
oh, really?
The great thing about Berlin, I know you're asking this earlier or going to ask this, is there a downtown? There's not really a downtown, but it's a city of neighborhoods. We call it a Kiez. So my Kiez has like blocks and blocks of restaurants, you know, just a block away. And then you go a few blocks more and there's more restaurants and a Saturday market where I go for, you know, produce and baked goods and everything. So
it sounds like typical Europe where the infrastructure is made where it's great. Everything you can walk to. So
yeah,
you can walk to like the pharmacy as well or a doctor, doctor's office. And there, I assume there are trains nearby.
Yeah. I mean, just a block away. So everything is, to me, a quarter mile away. A quarter mile,
wow.
You can get whatever you want and hop on the subway and pharmacies everywhere.
That's great. It reminds me of New York City. You know, everything is self-sufficient.
Exactly.
You can walk pretty much anywhere. So that's really great. That's important too. That also brings up prices for real estate, because if you're out in God's country, you don't have transportation. You have to drive everywhere. It's going to be cheaper.
Right.
Whereas everything is in centrally located. You pay a premium for that.
Yeah. And I always, like my mother retired and she went to Las Vegas living out in Summerlin. And I was like, as you get older, do I really want to drive everywhere? Like, is
right.
That's, I'm not possible after a while.
Right. And here, I don't want to do that either. I don't want to drive now.
Yeah. I see 80-year-olds on bikes and I love it. You know, I'm going to be one of those people, I think.
Hey, and this is why people in Europe live longer.
Yeah.
Because they walk a lot. They eat Mediterranean foods most of the time. Eat a healthy lifestyle. And, you know, between walking and biking, a lot of people bike.
You stay fit.
In Europe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. So how did the visas work? Like if I wanted to become a resident of Germany, like what do you consider?
Well, I got, and I don't know all the rules and facts about this, but I started out with a you know, just meeting people, I asked them what they did. And so my first year, I got a language visa. So I could take 3 months of German classes. And then I had a year-long visa. So that was what I did first. Although I took the classes and I was the oldest kid in the class and the slowest kid in the class.
That's okay.
It was very humiliating, I must say. But then the next year I got, that was a one-year visa. I got another one-year visa that was I still owned my company at that time as a representative visa, which meant I was looking at doing business in Germany because I was kind of I have a lawyer here who, you know, immigration law that helped me with these. And then the last, I just got a 3-year visa, which is a pensioner's visa. So I can't work, but I need to show that I could afford to stay here and support myself.
So it's sort of like a retirement visa.
Yeah, yeah. But I did, now I don't have to worry about a visa. Just the other day, I became an Italian citizen.
Because it's you.
I scheming and plotting how to stay here.
Yeah, but that's the best way. It's not really a scheme or a plot. If you have ancestors that have lived in, you know, Italy and or anywhere in the EU, you can get instant citizenship and be anywhere.
It took some time. It took 3 years, but I just got it the other day, so I'm very excited about that. Now I can actually live here as long as I want and work here if I wanted to work. So, which I may do something. I'd like to stay active. So we'll see what I end up doing.
So your Italian citizenship, how did that work? Is that like your grandparents?
Yeah, my grandparents. So it's Italian citizenship by descent. And only Italy has that, and Ireland, I think one other country, but I'm not sure which one. So I had to do all the paperwork, but then also the past year I've had an apartment in Italy. Also, I had to establish residency there, so I've been and forth to Italy and Berlin this past year.
Wow, busy boy.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's been fun. I have a good life.
Yeah, Italy. What part of Italy, may I ask?
It's a town called Rovigo, which is
I know that
between Oh, well, that's where Daniel, I think you interviewed him. That's
yes, I did. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. See, it's a small
world. Halfway between Venice and Bologna.
Got it. Yeah. I heard all about Rovigo. That's cool. That's cool. So, okay. You established Italian citizenship from a grandparent. I tried to do that. I was looking. Yeah, I was looking, well, how could I tell or research? So I did some background research with Ancestry.com.
Yeah.
And I had my grandparents or great grandparents, my grandparents came from Poland. So I said, okay, if I could prove that, maybe I can become a Polish citizen. But the rules were if something to the effect of, if your grandparents moved before 1921, maybe, or before, you weren't allowed. It was after like the 1920 something. So unfortunately, my grandparents moved to the US in 1907. So yeah.
I moved to the U.S. 1906, but Italy has like 1948 rule, which I don't know what that, I didn't have to worry about that, but that's some obstacle people have to go through, I guess.
Yeah. So I looked into it and then I didn't qualify. So I was like, okay,
that's too bad.
Forget it. Yeah. And Spain also allows Sephardic Jews to become citizens because they persecuted the Sephardic Jews way back. So I'm looking and seeing, do I have any Sephardic in me? But no, I don't.
Germany might have something like that because I met a guy recently. He's Jewish and he got citizenship because of being Jewish. And
yeah, the Holocaust.
But his family is from here, I think, from Germany.
Yeah, mine wasn't. Mine was in Poland and Russia. So,
okay.
Yeah. No, I'll have to do it the hard way.
Yeah. But I think it's, I think once you're here for a certain amount of years, like getting the visas like I've had, I think once you're right. here 5 years, then
5 years.
Yeah.
Automatically you become a resident.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yeah. So right now, oh, so you're a citizen. You're an EU citizen. You have an EU passport.
I know. I'm like, pinch me. I don't have a passport yet. It's going to take a couple months to get a passport.
Cool. Hey, what's better than that? So
I know.
Yeah, you lucked out. You got it.
Yep. It's the gift of COVID, I say, because I only discovered this like when COVID started. I was like, oh, it looks like I can be a citizen of Italy. And then I contacted this lawyer and they did a little research. And after 2 weeks, they said, yeah, it looks like you might qualify. So,
wow. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you did go through an immigration attorney.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It was just easier. Probably. I wasn't going to.
That's something
I'm not capable of digging up all the data.
Yeah.
The past yeah. stuff.
I would do that even getting probably a visa, you know,
right.
instead of doing it on my own. Tell us about the arts and culture scene. I know Berlin has a huge arts and culture scene as well. Tell us a little bit about that. Do they have theater, movies? Can you see a movie in English?
Yeah. Yeah. There's movies pretty much everywhere in English. The only thing I miss at movies is the popcorn is not quite the same. I love to get popcorn in movies, but there's a lot that have, you know, are in German with English subtitles or English speaking movie theaters too. So you just need to know what to look for on the codes, but there's some that are strictly English movies.
Cool.
And there's three operas in town. I mean, there's a world-class symphony, Philharmonic. I mean, it's pretty amazing. There aren't like Broadway shows. I've never seen any of those here, but
no, I bet you there are.
Huge. Yeah. But there's pretty much everything. I mean, there's so much to go. I went to, you know, all these irreverent things. They had burlesque week once. I went with a girlfriend, group of people to a burlesque show that was, you know, men and women, trans people doing burlesque, which was crazy, wild, stupid, and it's fun. I mean, it's so yeah. different.
Oh, yeah. I would yeah.
never be doing this in San Jose, I don't think.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
But a lot of like galleries and museums.
I was just going to say.
But I have some friends who are artists, and every week it seems like a new opening of a show that, you know, one friend invites me to, which is fun.
Can you walk to those,
Someone
or do you take
to.
The train?
Take the train. Berlin is, I mean, it's easy to get around. I take my bike mostly everywhere. The subway, though, the U-Bahn is great. And gets you every, you know, they come every 5 minutes and you can get anywhere.
My type of city. It sounds just like my hometown of New York. So
Yeah. I mean, it's very walkable and very safe. Like, it's never, you don't have to think about your wallet. You know, they say, you know, watch your bike. It might get stolen. I've had my bike 5 years now and, you know, it's parked outside all the time, everywhere, and never had a problem.
What's the population? Do you know?
It's like 3.5 million or a little bit more, but it's very spread out. There's a lot of lakes on the outside of the city or like within the city. I mean, it's beautiful in the summer here because days last forever. And there's like gay lakes, gay beaches at lakes, and nudity is not a thing. So you can go, like I go to the Tiergarten, which is like Central Park, and lay out naked in the summer. And it's like a gay area. It's not like a sexual thing. I think there is someplace, but I haven't seen that. But it's
I'm just, sure there is.
Yeah. If gays are there, it's happening. But it's really relaxing because I guess that's one of the one freedoms like East Germans had was, you know, they could be naked. And I've been out to a lake where with a friend, we canoed around an island. There's families on boats. And they're all standing up naked on the boat.
Naked.
It's kind of hilarious. It's like, what?
It's so different than the U.S. Yeah. It
it's
really
just
is.
Thing. It's, yeah.
Yeah, they don't care.
But it's very freeing. I feel very free.
I like it. I like it. Not that I'd probably go naked, but.
Yeah. It's I never thought I would. And it's, I don't know. When in Germany, do as the Germans.
There you go. Okay. Okay, so great arts and culture, crime. You mentioned there's little crime, but in a big city like that, you would think you would have some sort, even petty theft, but there's no... So Germany doesn't allow guns, number one, right?
Right, right.
That's a big relief.
Yeah.
Especially for people in the U.S., because, of course, everything here is guns. So,
yeah. I mean, I'll read in the paper here once in a while about, you know, there's some gang activity, but it's not, there's a lot of Turkish people here. And I think that's in that community. And you'll be in some areas. I mean, the worst areas I'll go through and you feel a little like it's sketchy, but never unsafe. Like I'm on the U-Bahn at 2 a.m. sometimes coming home from a club if I venture out that late ever, which is on occasion, but never feel unsafe, never.
So you're about a year younger than me, so that's past my bedtime, 2 a.m.
Well, it is fine. I mean, it's like when I say once in a while, it's like 2 or 3 times a year.
It's 2 or 3 times more than me. Give you kudos for that.
The problem is I still wake up at like 5 or 6 a.m. Have to take
There you go. But I always have this excuse. I'm still working. So
yeah, no,
I'm still working. So I
right, right.
And that's what I tell my husband, you know, he's retired. So, you know, he still goes to bed early. So that's okay.
Yeah. There's kind of joy in going to bed early.
There is. You know what? As a kid, I never did. I always was up late and got up early. But now it's like, yeah, 10 o'clock, I'm tired. Time to go. See ya.
Yeah.
So there's no crime. There's no crime to, so to speak. There's no mass shootings because there's no guns allowed. So do I feel safe walking out of my apartment at 2 a.m. if I have to pee the dog?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, the streets are really quiet here. It's just neighborhood people.
Good. Very good. Sounds ideal.
And Germans are really good at monitoring everybody. Like you might get yelled at by an old lady or an old man sometimes. Like if you ride your bike on the sidewalk, you're not supposed to ride your bike. Like I've gotten yelled at for doing that. It's kind of a thing. Like this weekend, there's a lot of tourists in town for this big leather thing. And I noticed like, when you're at a stoplight, a stop sign, nobody jaywalks. You wait for the green light to go. And especially if there's kids around, you never go on a red light in front of kids because it's just not, you don't do that. And so like I'll be out at midnight, there's no traffic and the light is red. I just wait till it's green now. It's like you just fall into place of the rules.
Wow.
And so people watch out for everybody. You can't. There are laws that like you can't vacuum in your apartment on Sunday. Like you can't do anything on Sunday that makes noise. So you can't work in your apartment, like any, like a drill or anything. You don't want
to. Is that an HOA thing or is that a law?
No, it's a law. Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, no, that's not a law. And I looked it up, but it is. And everything's closed on Sunday except restaurants and cafes and flower shops. Yeah. And at first I was like, what? I can't get anything on a Sunday.
Right.
But it's so joyful because it forces you to just like relax.
Rex.
And Rex, spend time with family or friends. I mean, in the summer, like friends will say, oh, we're going to do a little gathering in a park. And everybody meets at 2 o'clock and rides their bikes to a park. And it's just a really simple way of life, which is really nice. I like it a lot.
They don't close down businesses like Spain does for siesta during the afternoon.
No.
Okay. So everything's open all day long.
Yeah. And a lot of outdoor cafes, even in the winter, you know, they'll have blankets out and people are sitting outside drinking coffee and usually smoking a cigarette, but a lot of outdoor stuff.
Cool. All right. So let's talk about restaurants. What type of restaurants do they have in Berlin? Is it all, I mean, Berlin is so international. I'm assuming that they would probably have everything, including 5-star Michelin's, you know, restaurants.
Yeah, there's a few of the, I mean, I haven't gone to many of the high-end restaurants, the nicer places, but I I did go to a nice one last night. I go with a girlfriend every couple weeks to a nice restaurant to have different experiences. But like in the neighborhood, there is Vietnamese, and there's a lot of Vietnamese food here because the East Germans brought a lot of Vietnamese over during the war, Vietnam War.
You did?
And then there's a lot of Turkish that were here from the West, had like imported Turks to work. So there's a lot of doner kebabs and Turkish restaurants. But Indian, I mean, it's very international. Everything you could ask for is here. And like I said earlier, it's hard to find German, like a true German restaurant here. I mean, you can get a currywurst on the street and a bratwurst, but like there's limited true sit-down German restaurants that I've found in the neighborhood that I'm in.
Interesting. Interesting. So you can pretty much get anything that you wanted to, right?
Yeah.
Do they even have Mexican? That's a real test.
Well,
because usually Europe, they have that Mexican and Chinese thing that they don't have really.
They do have Chinese. That's good here. A Mexican, there are Mexican restaurants. And they're not very good. And I think, oh, I should open a Mexican restaurant.
I'm saying, like, why? I can't understand why. What's Europe and Mexican restaurants? I guess
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, like, spicy. Anything spicy here is not spicy. Like, it'll say on the menu "spicy," and it's like,
not at all. Yeah, no. You're right. Yeah, I've heard that before. So yeah.
But there's a lot of burger places that, you know, that seems to be trending here. Like, there's burgers everywhere.
Yep. But no Wiener Schnitzel.
A little bit, but you have to work at finding those.
But lots of beer, I would assume.
Yeah, lots of beer. Yeah.
Dark beer. Okay. All right. And we said that you can walk to those restaurants, you know, in your neighborhood. So that's great. So is there a lot of traffic in Berlin? And how close are you to the airport?
There's not a lot of traffic. I mean, the streets are pretty wide, so it's not like congested traffic ever. It never feels that way. The airport, they just built a new one, which is way the hell away. You can get there by train, but it takes 45 minutes.
That's not bad.
No. There's fast train from like the Hauptbahnhof, which is the main train station, but you have to get there first, and then direct train, you know, right to the terminal, which is nice. So that's built out really good.
Is the airport in Berlin?
It's
or like on the outskirts?
Which is, yeah, on the outskirts. So it's kind of way out there. They closed the closer. Goal was the close-in airport, which everybody loved, but it was very rickety. So they had to close it. And this new one is nice. You know, it's nice, but it's just further to get to.
Yeah, but 45 minutes is really not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, if you take a cab or Uber, it's going to be, you know, 50 euro, which is kind of a lot for Berlin standards. It's a lot. The old airport was like 25 euro to get anywhere on cab. So it's twice as much.
How about the train? How much does it cost approximately?
I think 390.
That's it?
Yeah, it's cheap.
And you can relax too. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a nice train.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
No.
I would do that. I wouldn't drive.
Yeah. So it's really easy.
How about healthcare? So do you think there are enough doctors in Berlin to manage all the population?
I think so. I don't know the ratio, but healthcare, I know, was in the hospital last year a couple times, and the healthcare was great. I couldn't ask for anything better. And my insurance, I have private insurance here, which I have to pay quite a bit for. I pay 825 euro a month for my insurance, which is a lot for
That's a lot.
Europe. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was in the hospital twice last year, and I was afraid, like, what am I going to have to pay? And it paid 100%. Yeah. And the doctors all speak English, like. The hospital was really quiet and peaceful. It was really, felt like a resort being in this hospital. I've never been in a hospital before, but everybody was really nice. They speak English, and you get cake and coffee in the afternoon every day because that's like a German tradition to have cake and coffee. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going. No. Yeah. Just kidding.
I was like, what? I'm getting cake and coffee in the hospital.
So, all right, $800 for healthcare. It's expensive. Is that typical in Germany?
That I'm not sure about. I know people work, get cheaper insurance because the employer pays into it, much like the U.S., really. But if you are, now that I'm an Italian citizen, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get public insurance, which is a lot less than.
You should be able to.
And based on what your income is, too. Yeah. So that's like one of my next steps after getting the passport, everything.
Probably. I would think if you're a resident, I would think you should look into this, because in most EU countries, if you're a resident for a year or more, then you become entitled to the public. You might still pay for the private to have it for more convenience and a faster turnaround time,
right,
as the public system. But you might be eligible for public health care regardless of your Italian citizenship.
Yeah.
You might have to pay into it too. You might have to pay into it a smaller amount, because I know, like in Spain, after a year, you're entitled to public, but the first year you do have to pay for private. But I think it's something like $60 for the public per year, per person before you're 65, and then 65, it kind of jumps up double.
Oh, okay.
But still, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, and they pay for everything. So you might not use it. You may not use it for if you wanted to get into the dermatologist or something. But if you had an emergency and you had to, you know, get something done and they can get you in quickly, you know, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, yeah. And I do, before I had this private insurance, I had another private insurance, but I had a bike accident. I thought I bruised ribs. So I went to a doctor in the neighborhood, and the visit was like €36. So it's not very much what you have to pay out of pocket if you just do it on your own, although you have to have insurance for the visa.
Right. Yeah, it's like my dentist. My dentist says, oh, you should fill this cavity. You have a filling there, but we should really do it. And I'm always thinking, back in my mind, he's just trying to get money. And the next time he comes in, oh, you didn't do it. And I'm so tempted to say, oh, I was thinking of, you know, when I'm in Spain, I'll have them do it for like really nothing. And they'll be like,
exactly.
Oh my God, no, you can't do that. Oh, yes, I can. Or maybe I'll go to Mexico, you know, and get it done for like a couple of pesos.
Yeah.
So, I'm like,
bad. It's amazing how much cheaper it is. Yeah. Healthcare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the one hospital visit I had, I was in the hospital 4 days, had an operation. It was €4,900 total.
For an operation, it would probably be
$100,000. It would have been, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So even if I had to pay out of pocket, I'm like,
it's nothing really.
It's manageable.
Considering, you wouldn't go bankrupt like everybody else.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty much does if they don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I don't know what people do. I mean, I guess that's why
I know
they're homeless. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sad. Our whole system is built like that. The healthcare system, it's just not right. Something has to be done.
And I don't know how it's ever going to be fixed.
It's just like the gun thing. How is that going to be fixed too?
So, exactly.
But anyway, rolling right along. Okay, so it's comforting to know that they have good quality healthcare and very accessible. So that's definitely a plus. You know, and I have a friend that lives in Paris. Maybe you guys could all kind of make a little party out there. He's half time in California, in Palm Springs, and then the other half in Paris. That'd be cool. I'd like to visit everybody.
Yeah. You're always welcome.
Thank you. So we went over, do you know if they have a golden visa? Probably not, but you know what a golden visa is? You kind of like pay a certain amount for real estate.
The only one that I read about when I first came is if you started a business and invested $1 million or hired 10 people, then you could get a visa for Germany. But other than that, there was no real estate visa, you know, by investing in other ways.
Curious, how many Americans are living in Germany or Berlin? Is there a big American population in Berlin? Do you know?
It feels like it. If you go to some of the trendier neighborhoods, it's like you hear people speaking English all over. A lot of Americans, a lot from England, Australians. I'm not sure what the percentage is from the U.S.
How about in Romeo and Romeo?
That's a good indicator.
Few of us, yeah. There's a few of us. Most of them are German guys there, I think.
Okay.
And other cultures too. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I'm just being a wise ass.
I know you are.
don't mind me. So living there for quite a few years, what are there any cons? Bureaucracy. Is there bureaucracy?
Well, dealing with the bureaucracy, is complicated. It's very slow and everything's done by paper. I got a driver's license last year, and depending on the state, it was complicated because California, like some states, you can just turn your license in and they'll give you a German license. California, I had to take, everybody's got to take an 8-hour first aid and safety class to get a license. And then I had to take the theory test, the written test. I didn't have to take a class for that.
How about a road test?
Being from California, this was a rule for California. And then after the theory test, I had to take driver training behind the wheel test. Like I had to take training with a driving instructor for like 10 times, then had to do the driving test. The whole process took 5 months to get through.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, but the nice thing is I learned a lot. It was like, I had to break a lot of old habits, and people are safe drivers here. Like it's a joy.
Do they teach you in English or is it in German?
Yeah, that was in English. Yeah, the test, the driving behind the wheel test is in German.
German,
but they're just saying go left, right, straight. It's simple.
And you know what they meant?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So when he said left, you looked left, you went left. Oh, that way?
But then I guess the bureaucracy part was like I had to apply to be able to get the license. That took like a month for them to go through the paperwork to say, yes, you're approved to apply for a license. Jeez. So it's everything's complicated. Yeah.
Yeah. What I heard was you'll fill out a form and they'll say, oh, no, you need this form. And then you come back with that form and they'll like, oh, but you didn't sign this on that form. Well, why didn't you tell me the last time I was here?
And the Germans are very scary when they're telling you these things. You know, it's like, so I'm really happy I'll never have to get a visa again because it was always like nerve wracking.
It's like
what are they going to, they're not going to give it to me, but I've never
heard
of anybody.
No license for you. No license for you.
Right.
Like no soup for you. Okay. So, all right. So it seems like in Europe,
the weather is sometimes a con, you know, in the gray days, you know, March, April is when I find myself getting down. Like it's nice when it's dark and peaceful in the winter, but then when you want it to be getting warmer and it's not, that's when I get a little,
you kind of like want to go out. You're ready for nice sunshine and fun.
Time to travel, which I did go to California, but it was raining the whole time this year. So
it's kind of sucks.
Which was good. Yeah, but they needed it.
Yeah. Do you travel? Do you find yourself traveling to other parts of Europe, like Poland, Italy? I know you go to Rovigo, but like France, and have you? Where have you been?
I've been to France. The fun thing is, like, friends from the States will be on trips to Amsterdam or Paris, and I'll meet up with them. Like, I'll meet them for the weekend or something. Before COVID, before the war in Ukraine, I took the train to Kiev and did a tour of Chernobyl years ago. So that was, like, I like different kind of things. And
yeah.
It was great, great experience. And Gdansk, Poland, I've been to by train. Which is, I'm not sure how many hours. That's a while ago I did that. And that was in the middle of winter. It was fun.
Have you been to Spain?
I've been to Barcelona and Madrid. Okay. That's it. I have a friend. The friend who used to live across the street moved to Barcelona now. So I should go visit him soon. But I went to, like, flew to Helsinki. Then from Helsinki, took a ferry, 2-hour ferry to Tallinn, Estonia, which was just gorgeous. And this was in the winter. It was kind of fun to do the winter travel and be cold, and it's nice.
That's awesome. That it's so great that you there's so much geography so and close. History and everything is so close. It's like it's like smaller than the US, sort of, you know. I mean, if you're in the US and you go from one side to, you know, one coast to the other, you can see all of Europe pretty much.
Right. Yeah.
In that distance. So yeah, that's great. I can't wait to visit. In wrapping up, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking on moving to Germany and Berlin, especially?
I would say it's a trip of a lifetime. It's been a great experience for me. It's probably not for everybody. You know, I don't know. I love it a lot, but it's not for everybody. I've had friends come here and they don't like Berlin. I mean, Berlin is not the prettiest city. You know, it doesn't have manicured parks, and, you know, people are like, why is it weedy? It's just, that's the way it is. It's unkept a little bit, but the people are wonderful and nice, and, you know, there's so much to do. There's always something going on and something different, and I feel more alive here just being part of, you know, so many artists and free-spirited type people.
Gotcha. Yeah, people and the that. Culture, and that's great.
Yeah. And the one thing I was going to, you know, they have, and the Germans have really taken inventory of who they are as people. So, like, one of my German friends, first person I met, she's my age, and she said, you know, us Germans, look what we've done in our past. Who are we to judge? So there is no judgment of who you are or what you do in Berlin, because they have this past that they're, you know, they've admitted to what they've done. So they can't judge who you are or what you do. So anything goes.
So that's why everything is pretty liberal, right?
Exactly.
Liberal and free-spirited, I should say, as far as, you know, people, families wouldn't think twice of standing up in a boat naked, butt naked.
Right.
It's like, yeah. So I could definitely understand. They've been through a lot. So live and let live, right?
They've owned up to it. Exactly. Yeah.
Live and let live is what I say. That's my motto. And life's too short. Do it now.
Yeah. That's
so.
Have to.
Yeah. So I think you did a great thing. You know, you're enjoying life in another country. Do you think there'll be a time where you'll be there full time and not go back, or will you always have your roots?
You know, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know, in 10 years, like, I love it being here now, but the one other con here is, like, so many people leave too. They'll be here 5 or 10 years, then they decide to go somewhere else. So you gain new friends, but you lose friends at the same time.
Gotcha. Yeah. So yeah, it's difficult to read the future into the future.
Right.
Well, thank you, Greg. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. It was wonderful listening and talking to you and enjoying the conversation about how life is in Berlin, Germany.
Thanks. So, it's been a lot of fun. And if you ever get to Germany, to Berlin, look me up at Romeo and Romeo.
I'll be there. I'm going to definitely write that down. I'm going to write that down in my book. All right. Thank you so much. Right. And we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.